I'm going to be reading from John chapter 3, just the beginning, five verses. John chapter 3, if in case you want to follow along. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." I wanted to take notice of a couple of things right away. First of all, we see that this man Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee. He also was a ruler of the Jews. And further down the story, we're going to see that Jesus recognizes him as a teacher of Israel. So we see here a teacher talking to a teacher. And one of the teachers is coming to ask the teacher a question or to talk to him by night. Okay, something else is important for us to see in verse 3. Jesus is going to say to him, the first thing he's going to tell Nicodemus is, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And maybe you might wonder, why did Jesus tell him that? And one of the reasons why is because, you know, Nicodemus being a Jew, being a Pharisee, being a man of Israel, he put a lot of weight on his lineage. That's how they grew up with ancestry and so on and so forth. So he's taken that figure of having been born. You remember the Pharisees, how they were prideful that they were descendants of Abraham? Okay, so he's taking that cultural mindset and he's using it to portray the idea of conversion. But instead of telling Nicodemus, "You need to be converted," he's telling him, "You need to be born again." So we see that Nicodemus, he's still with his human mindset as he's answering Jesus back what he told him. But notice, for instance, how do we know he's talking about conversion? Okay, and this born again is not anything mysterious, but something just a figure of speech used, or an illustration rather, used to explain conversion. Notice, I'm just going to read Matthew 18 and verse 3 real quick. And I have it here almost ready in my Bible. When it says, Jesus said, almost a parallel passage, and he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven." So we see Jesus here using this illustration to help Nicodemus understand conversion. That is the purpose. Now, what does this mean, this being born again or this conversion? How is this accomplished? Well, Jesus is going to give us the answer. I can say probably among the religious world, there's a consensus that it is needful, it is necessary to be born again. The question arises, or the discussion, or maybe the division as to how that is done. But Jesus in verse 5, notice verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old?" You see, can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And here's the answer. This is as far as I'm going to go in this story. Okay, Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one," again, he's again using the illustration of being born again, okay, "unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." There's the answer. We need to be born of water and of the Spirit. There's one birth, one new birth, which has two elements to it, the water and the Spirit. Now, the question is, what is the Spirit? We can almost, you know, guess in a way what the water is. We'll get there in just a few seconds. But when we talk about the Spirit, remember that holy men of God spake as they were moved by whom? By the Holy Spirit. So there is the Word of God, which is the element, one of the elements in conversion. It's needful to have the Word of God. That's 2 Peter 1:21. Also in James 1:18, if you remember, James is going to say, of his own will, he begat us or brought us forth by the word of truth. So we see again the being born again or the begetting, and the word is involved. and behind the word is the Holy Spirit. Okay? And then 1 Peter 1:23, we have a parallel here using both words that drives the point home when Peter says, 1 Peter 1:23, having been, notice, born again. You, Peter, as a good student, as an inspired man, using the same, you know, illustration that Jesus has used with Nicodemus, speaking to the Jews of the dispersion again, which valued the physical lineage very highly. So he says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, not of physical birth, but of a spiritual birth, through the word of God. So there we have it. There is the spiritual part of the being born again. Now, when we talk about the water, what would that be? Have you thought about a new birth, which includes water in the scriptures? I know the parallels are, there's a lot of parallels in the Old Testament. But very specifically, in Romans 6 and verse 4, we're going to see those two words, they come together. Therefore, we're buried with him through baptism, okay? There's the water into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You may also read later Colossians 2, verse 12 and 13 as a parallel passage to this. But just remember 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So we see there's the water of baptism, which is the second element. So we see that it's important for us to hear the word of God that is inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's when the seed is planted in people's hearts. Now, as we meditate upon it, as we, you know, try to understand it, study it more, try to comprehend it, now that's going to produce faith to the point that it's going to germinate. Like a baby being born, it's going to be like a new birth. There's going to be happiness. And then that's when the seed germinates out of the water. When the person hears the gospel, believes the gospel, confesses Jesus as the Son of God, and also he's converted like Jesus required. He said, you must be converted. Now, if you go, for instance, this came to my mind not too long ago, but in Acts chapter 3, Acts 2:38, we see that Peter is going to say, repent and be baptized, each one of you, for the remission of your sins. Now, if you go to chapter 3, St. Peter, preaching on Solomon's portico, or porch, rather, he's going to say in verse 19, repent, therefore, and be converted. There it is. The process of conversion through the preaching, through faith, through obedience to the gospel, being fulfilled or accumulated when one is baptized for the remission of their sins, and then you come out of the water as a new person. And it says that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come forth from the presence of the Lord. We don't know what, you know, the story keeps on going about Nicodemus. He's later going to come out and help Jesus when he was crucified. You know, he was a hidden disciple for a long time. But then he came out and he didn't care, you know, what others thought about him. He helped Joseph of Arimathea with this. But we see that Jesus explained in very plain words what it meant to be, if you want to be part of the kingdom, what you had to do. And it's the same thing today. If you're not a Christian, you must be born again through the water and through the Spirit. That's why we deliver the invitation every time we have, so we can produce faith in you, so that you may be, have an opportunity to obey the gospel. Okay? If you have already done so, and you would like to, in a way, you would like to make things right that you might not have been making right in your life, we also give this opportunity. This is the Lord's invitation. This is Jesus Christ knocking at your door, that you may come back and enjoy that richness and those times of refreshing, like Peter said, that belongs to those who have been born again through water and through the Holy Spirit. If in any way we can help you, let's do so while we stand and while we sing this song, Invitation.